So if you will, just pray with me right now, please. Loving Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We choose to rejoice, and we are rejoicing in it because we know that you are the one who makes all things new. You are the one who is with us today, yesterday, and forevermore. And Lord, as we go into this time of worship, Lord, let me be that vessel for you to speak through and use for your name, for your glory. Amen. And we're going to start with the scripture this morning. I'm reading from Genesis, King James Version. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. And our topic for consideration, you all know, Back to the Future. And how does Back to the Future work for us? We're going with Write the Vision. And with Write the Vision, we're going to go right on to pondering and thoughts. So how many of you are seated near or you have a notebook and a paper? So pondering curious thoughts, meandering. Everybody has a pencil. Okay. Now, as we think of Back to the Future, the main scripture that comes to mind for me is Habakkuk, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're writing, and you have a small container. Some of you have the little small containers. If you pop those open, if you have one, just smell it. Just breathe in. Do we have any extras? If you don't have your own, raise your hand. Brother Jerry has extra pencils and extra packets. As we think about Back to the Future, I like object lessons. For one, the writing has to go with the concept of it's important for us to write things down, for us to write. According to Habakkuk, we want to write the vision. This is what keeps us in our present as we think about what we have written in our past as we move towards our future. Okay? How many of you are familiar with the phrase stinking thinking? Stinking thinking. Well, you have the little tub of scents there. They're bath salts. You can actually use them. Do not eat them, okay? Do not use them for seasoning your food. But they are an object lesson for us to be connected with this season of Advent and Back to the Future. So I'm putting all of these thoughts together because we want our prayers and our thoughts, I believe the word says, to be a sweet smelling fragrance to our Father. So how do we do that? Well, this is a way that we can. Whenever we're doing what we do, thinking what we think, writing what we write, but especially our thoughts. So this is for you to use or either just keep nearby for you to remember. Maybe whatever scent you have, it's a little pungent in it. It kind of repulses you. And then you may have one that's like, that's nice. But that's how we want our thoughts and our words to be. It's a point of reference for us to remember how to be in the presence of the Lord constantly. I always wonder what pray without ceasing looked like. And this is one of the things. We're always smelling something. So I had never thought about my thoughts being repulsive, because God knows our hearts, our thoughts, our minds. So as we go back to the future, sometimes we get lost in where we are in our thought processes. Is this a fragrant thought? Is it a repulsive thought? What kind of thoughts are we having? Next slide, please. Now, whenever you look at this right here, that looks familiar. Y'all remember that? There are some Back to the Future people here. So I am not one of them, because until I did this, blew up this graphic right here, I did not realize that the tag on the back of the car said out of time. So when you see this graphic, what comes to mind to you? So talk back to me. What comes to mind whenever you see this image? Fast. What else? 1970s and 80s. Anything else? Huey Lewis. Which one? I thought that was Hall & Oates that sang you're out of touch, you're out of time. Which Huey Lewis? Just Huey Lewis in general. I want a new drug. That Huey Lewis? One that won't make me sick. Okay, I remember. That's the only Huey Lewis song I know. He is my new drug. Oh, I hope that was a sweet-smelling fragrance. I don't even know myself. So this right here made me think about Back to the Future, where we're going, and are we out of time? We are in this season of Advent, which is the already, but not yet, okay? So we know that Christ has already come. And we wonder, what does it look like for him to return? So the already of not and not yet of being in this time of celebration. Can y'all believe Christmas is like this weekend coming? Whew. Time really does seem to be flying by. So when we go to the next slide, I'm going to read the main scripture again. Or the supporting scripture. Write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Now, how is that important for us? You each have the notebook, the journal, the pencil, because another part of the object lesson, one of the things that I do, I try not to go to church or anything without a journal. So this is kind of like a primer for you who have, some of you already bring your notebooks and you automatically take notes. Good for you, you have an extra notebook. But for some of us who aren't always taking notes, this is a little gift, a token, to help you maybe get started. I've heard Josh speak before. Some of the things he says, you just can't get it in one sitting. So you have to write it down. Likewise with Alpheus, let me hold on for a minute. I have to show y'all this. In other words, as I'm walking and I'm talking, you guys have fabulous teachers. And the last time I was at House of Judah, Alpheus left us with the gratitude. I call it the gratitude tube. And what I'm saying is they offer so much deep wisdom. I would like to invite you all going into the new year, If you are not a note carrier, just leave your notebook and pencil in the car. It'll already be there. And, you know, of course, you may take it out and read over it, but make sure you get it back in the car. So whenever you are wherever you are, you can take notes, because the word that we get when we come in House of Judah, you have to write it down. I have to write it down. So this is what we're doing today, writing. We're going to take notes and write so y'all can get some practice. But on a more personal level, as we think about Back to the Future, what does writing do for us? For one, it helps us to focus. Two, it helps us remember important details. Three, it helps us to stay on task. Four, it helps us to make proper use of time and thoughts. But most of all, it helps us remember who and where we are. I like the fact that that's what the Word of God does for us. We go back and look at how God was present all through the lives of the prophets, the Israelites, the judges, all of those, the disciples. So we get to look back and see what was written about our deliverer. So we see that in the written word. So obviously, writing is important, because you know in the beginning was the word, but it wasn't written. It was spoken. You had to remember it. And have y'all ever been in a class? It was like an icebreaker where somebody would tell a story at the beginning, and then it would go around the room, and by the time it got to the front, it sounded like something completely different from what it started off with. I think that's why writing is important. It helps us to focus. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can give us something. I know it can give me something. And if I don't write it down, I'll get it mixed up and I'll be like, what did you tell me to do? Sort of like going to the grocery store without a shopping list. You can forget. So writing helps us to focus, helps us focus on the word as well. It helps us to remember important details. A lot can get lost in translation because we're constantly going and coming. But what details do we need to hold on to? What details do we need to keep to help us stay on task? Two and three kind of go together. Help us stay on task. Because I don't know about you, but I remember playing when I was young, but I don't really remember exactly what kind of games I played. But as I get older, and as we get older, we may start having ideas. We may write down what we want to accomplish, where we want to go, what things we want to do. And so writing things down really does help us stay on task, okay? Making proper use of our time and thoughts. If we're going to believe, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, and we want our thoughts and our words to not be smelly, how do we do that? Because believe it or not, some of the words that we have spoken, some of the thoughts that we think are a part of what we are living right now in one way or the other. Remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what are we speaking? I used to think that we reap what we sow. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I thought they were talking about green beans. I really did. I didn't realize that I reap what I sow by what I'm thinking about you and you and you, this group, that group. And then whenever I meet these people or this person, I am going to sow, or I am going to reap what I have sown. And then we wonder and we try to figure out why are things going the way they go. Think about proper use of time and thoughts. Take time to get into the Word. Take time. And when I say get into the Word, y'all, there are so many ways that we can experience God's presence, that we can have lectures, guided meditations, listening to beautiful music, catching my sister here saying, your voice is beautiful, by the way. But what we keep on our mind and in our thoughts is what influences how we are back to the future. It really is like living in the already, but not yet. We already thought the thought. It's almost like we're waiting to see what that outcome is going to be. Our words are important. And whenever we write down what we write, it helps us to remember who we are. So my question is, who are we? Who are we? Who were we? Who are we now? Who are we becoming? And I saw this graphic made me think of the Holy Spirit. I always think of the Holy Spirit in terms of fire and a dove. Be who you were created to be, and you will set the world on fire. Thought for consideration, who were you created to be? Do you know who you were created to be? When I say we, I like to talk in the universal we. So you could change this down, change this as you write it. Who am I? Who am I now? Who am I becoming? Who are we? Who are we now? And who are we becoming? This is where we have to go back and we get our key scripture. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I think it's important that we, I'm going to say embody this scripture. I think this is the second time that this scripture has come up. Who are we when we have to determine, when we're thinking about race relations, whenever we're thinking about who we're going to hug and talk to and get close to at this time and in social settings, how are we going to be who God created us to be? Let me ask you this. Please write it down. Do you think you look like God? Do I look like God? If God was to have a physical image, does he look like me? When I look in my eyes and I'm looking in the mirror, does something resonate in my soul? And I think, I'm not just looking at Katie Webb. I'm looking at the essence, the image of God. That always blows my mind. Are y'all the same way? You can't look in the mirror at yourself for a long time, then you have to look off. Have y'all ever experienced that? Try it. Look in the mirror and just see how long you can just look at yourself and then let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be a sweet-smelling fragrance to you. I'm not a size 8 anymore, so sometimes I be dodging the mirrors. Oh, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm going, But I have to be reminded to look in that mirror. Like Michael says, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. But are we having a Genesis 1:26 experience? Maybe it's something we can consider when we think of who we are. That's how we get back to the future. We have to make sure if we look back on who we were, we're looking at the right aspects as we look. I like the concept because how do you get back to the future when back generally indicates or insinuates past, but future moves forward, but we're supposed to be in the present. That's why that's one of the aspects of what we get with Genesis 1, where Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, forevermore. That is embodied to me in Genesis 1, because we get that image. We have this amorphous eye, well, what does God really look like? Thought. That's way back there in the Genesis. And then we see the physical presence of him. Well, we don't see it. We have to imagine the physical presence of God in the future, according to scripture. And we have to get back to the future to get up to the presence, to get back to the future to get where we are right now. That's why we have to know who we are. So I'm going to go with Jesus on this one. Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And this is what helps us. I'm going to say flow through the Advent season, because I think whatever season we're in, we have to know so that we will be grounded, so that we can stay focused, so that we can think positive and happy thoughts and be positive and happy, so that we can be confident in this very thing. I may not know what's going on in my life right now, but I know that the one who started the good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. May we not run out of time. May we make use of our time wisely. What do we get from Jesus so we can move into the future? Jesus was always saying who he was. I chose my three favorite. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So he tells us, I'm the bread of life. Eat of me. The second one that I love, I am the good shepherd. Newsflash question. You can write this down. Am I a sheep or a goat, Jesus? Who are we? Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I love that. Jesus, the good shepherd. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Another identity of who Jesus says he is. And then my favorite, one of them, it's just so many names, you can't name them all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord of lords, light of the world, morning star, Alpha and Omega, the Word, Son of God, the way, the truth, the life, Son of man. I like Son of God, although it's not on here. Yes, it is. There it is. The light of the world, Prince of peace, mighty God. Y'all have some names of God that may not Jesus that's not on here. What do y'all call him? Y'all can say it. What do you call him whenever you need him? Jesus. My peace. Bright morning star. Healer. Anybody else? Elder brother. That's mine. Anybody else? There are so many names. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? But if we're going to live in the already and not yet, and we're going to get back to the future to be who our Father, Elder Brother, the Holy Spirit says we are, we have to know who we are. That's all tenses, past, present, present, and future. That's why we said earlier, who I am is not who I was back then, is not who I am right now, who I'm not going to be probably next week. I love saying this, I do not remember being an infant. Do any of y'all? I think I can remember back to like maybe when I was six, some early memories. But when I go back and look, I do not look like an egg in my mother's womb. Do I? Y'all don't either. But we have to go back and like, how did we become all of this image of God here? Those are the kind of thoughts I think when I think back to the future. And hoping I'm not out of time, Jesus. So how do we remain present with Christ consciousness? I like that phrase, Christ consciousness. Basically, it means having the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ we have to write things down. We have to remember who we were, who we are. And I'm going to be brave enough to say who we are becoming. Because I'm telling you guys, I didn't ever consider or see myself becoming Pastor Katie. I don't know what I thought I was going to be. But I promise you, top of the list or even in the middle was not Pastor. But we have to be open when we look back. It does help us, inform us, and strengthen us. It gives us confidence to go into the future with our Father. Having the mind of Christ means being flexible. Can you be the bread of life and the sheep and the good shepherd? Can you be the Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, and not lose it? If we were thinking about this from a psychological perspective, somebody would say we have multiple personalities. That's why we have to be aware of our thoughts and our words and the sweet fragrance. Being that sweet fragrance, not just for our Father, but for those we interact with. When we write it down, at least we can be like, did I say I was going to be this way? Did I say it was going to be this way? Lord, what did you say? Did I really write what you said, or is this just a random meandering here? Having the mind of Christ is how we do it. We have to. And all we have to do is ask for it. We know what kind of mind we used to have. Do we really want to bring that mind into our future, or do we want to leave it somewhere buried in Gilgal? Okay. Please do not come. Don't follow me to the promised land. Maybe we want them to be covered up with that Red Sea water. We will see that enemy no more again forever. How do we get back to the future so that we can be present and have the mind of Christ? Living in the already, but not yet. One of the main ways, and one of the things that always makes me smile, we have to remember our baptism. Always talk about baptism because I think it's one of the things that we forget. If I remember my baptism, I'm less likely to remember I'm a sinner saved by grace because I'm thinking about that water and it keeps washing me. One of the things I heard was, because of my baptism, because of the love of Christ, because of his great sacrifice, I'm not sinless, but I sin less. I'm not sinless, but I'm sinless, but I sin less. It's a whole lot of stuff I really don't do now that I used to do, and I'm grateful for it. And it's not because I just can't do that anymore because of muscle contraction and all of this other stuff. It's just not a pretty look for Jesus. It probably doesn't smell too good either. So the beauty of baptism is it washes us. It cleanses us. It purges us. The thing that we don't like to talk about, it perfects us. Please write this down in your book. Please take it, write it down. I am perfect in Christ Jesus. And please repeat it back to me. I am perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm speaking it out there so that every time we hear on TV, radio, songs, whatever, from another pulpit, and they say, nobody's perfect, I'm not perfect. Well, you know that person's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Go check out Matthew chapter 5 and get over there by 35 through 40. See what Jesus has to say about that. Matthew 5 is a fabulous way for us to understand our perfection in Christ Jesus. Repeat after me again. I am perfect. What did he shed his blood for? For me to remain imperfect. How can a perfect God create an imperfect being? I did not say mistakeless. I did not say sinless. There is a form of perfection when we get back to the future and live into the already but not yet. It helps us see things from a more Christ-conscious perspective. It renews us. It restores us. It heals us. It completes us. When we remember the waters that cleanses us, this is what makes the ultimate exchange of sin, of our sin, for his love. That's how we get back to the future. How many of y'all take a bath every day? Exactly. Y'all looking at me like, what? That's how we remember our baptism, even though we don't think about it. Every day, God makes sure we get clean. This body has to be clean, even if it's just... Think about it. It's a subliminal message. We cleanse our physical body because our Father, Elder Brother, and the Holy Spirit is constantly, spiritually cleansing us through the waters of baptism. Remember that when you wash your hands, we come in contact with water, even the hand sanitizer. Y'all be thinking about, I'm baptizing my hands as I sanitize. Things that make you go, may my thoughts be a sweet-smelling fragrance. There may be someone here this afternoon, this morning, who would like to reestablish that connection to get back to the future, living in this time of the already but not yet. How may we get to know him better? If there's one, please stand. Please stand. Will you please stand? If there's one, everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes, bow your head. Maybe there's something going on in your life, in your mind.